a so-called price list of males and females in the dating pool or 相亲价目表 has gone viral. The property you buy or inherit, your hukou or household registration, your educational background, amongst other things, can all come with a price tag in the marriage market. Yes, this is something that lots of us have been talking about, and it's been trending on social media. Let's go through this price checklist, so to speak.
Yeah, the price list was first revealed by an article which features an author visited a blind date corners in some parks in Beijing and Shanghai where parents help their single children find suitable blind date candidates. And I think the distorted marriage market has reflected by this article has aroused the public, has stirred up the heat discussion among the public and the media outlets. So, according to the report, a Beijing hukou is priced at 540,000 yuan or equals to some $80,000.
Wow.
And some parents say earning a high salary, owning an apartment and a car are far less attractive than having a Beijing hukou. And some of them may even throw the resume of the non-local candidates away or just say no to those candidates who don't have a Beijing accent. That's ridiculous. And even for some candidates who have the Beijing or Shanghai hukou and settle down in the city for a while, they may still be prejudiced by parents if they were not born in the city. And also those who were born in the other provinces may still have different living habits, accent, and custom for marriage, even if they have the local hukou. Maybe that's the reason why the parents turn them down. Yeah.
Yeah, this reminds me of what you could turn into some kind of TV show. Like The Price is Right for dating. Mr. Price, come on down now. Let's see if we can assess what Mr. Price is worth for the ladies. Mr. Price, do you have a house? No, I don't. I'm renting. Oh, that's going to hurt you in some points here, Mr. Price. I'm sorry. Next question. Ladies, it's not over. The so-called President of the United States of Studs. Do you have a car? I'm currently driving a Ofo right now. Oh my God, Mr. Price, it's not looking good. Let's go ahead and ask you about your education. So I understand you have a bachelor's, Mr. Price. I do. Okay, that's great. That's 50,000 you won. Now, can we up it to a master's, Mr. Price? You know, that intense music. Yes, I have a master's. Oh, my God, people. He might be making a comeback. That could be, it looks like, 120,000 RMB worth right there. But then also, Mr. Price, do you have a PhD? Ooh, I don't have a PhD. Basically, as you can understand, they look this a system. You go to a park here and they break down everything about a person. Not just, let's say housing, okay? It's not as simple as, do you have a house in Beijing? It's like, where is your house in Beijing? I mean, if it's an apartment in downtown area, a good school area, then your worth is 4.22 to 10.35 million yuan.
Wow.
That's pretty serious. If you're in the other six districts, you're valued at 3.57 to 7.11 million yuan. Tangzhou, I'm sorry, guys. You're a little bit less. 1.42 to 5.04 million yuan. Still not bad. That's in the millions, right? But also, people are saying that if your place isn't a three-bedroom, then you aren't as, I guess, valuable as someone who owns a three-bedroom. So let's say you have a two-bedroom. Doesn't matter. Three bedrooms, the best, in the best area of town. This criteria, even though it's maybe you say, oh, I have an apartment in Beijing, that means something. You're still put on this pedestal of how your apartment matches up to other people who have an apartment in Beijing. So it's not even as just simple as saying, I live in Beijing, I have a Beijing hukou. I mean, in some circumstances, people are prejudiced. Maybe you have a Beijing hukou, but you weren't born in Beijing, And this kind of thing could be held against you. So, of course, having a car, having a high income, these things help you out a lot. Guys, they also take in zodiac signs. Mm-hmm. These these parents that are looking for your hubby in the park, they're saying if you're born in the year of the goat, That's not good for you, basically. And especially, I'm sorry, this is what it says, especially for the ladies.
Yeah, there's a superstitious kind of understanding, belief of some people that a lady who's born in the year of the goat, then maybe her life is difficult. She's gonna go through more difficulties than some of the other people, which doesn't make any sense to me.
Where's the science behind that? That is ruining people's lives just off of mere superstition.
Yeah, and that's part of, I guess, culture that I think we can just leave it behind. But still, some people tend to use that to almost discriminate towards other people. Yeah. I feel. And yes, I think you guys nailed two out of at least the three of the criteria. There's also the education or family background. Family background is not something you can choose. Educational, to some extent, you can. But what, excuse me, grosses me out is it seems to work adversely for women as opposed to men. Huang Shan, I see the agreement in your eyes and your tone. So tell me about that.
I think I want to mention the education part for the, if you have a doctorate degree, the price varies from men and women. So if you got a PhD for women, it's like lower your price. That's a discrimination, because they say like men always find some girls who are lower than him, or he want to be the better one in the relationship.
Yeah, that's really interesting. If a man has obtained a PhD degree, then he's upping his level, so to speak, in the dating market. But if it's her, a lady,
it works against her.
He's got a PhD.
So you're saying well-educated ladies are not what is wanted.
At least not in this dating pool.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we've established a criteria, and it's also important to highlight one thing, that these matchmaking or blind date selection process, it happens in parks when the parents are doing this for their children. Sometimes their children don't even know about it. It's mom and dad picking and choosing, or at least doing their part as they see fit in this whole marriage process.
Right. Yeah. You know, and let's talk, because we just talked about kind of the differences and how being well-educated, at least as it pertains to this kind of blind dating scenario, how it works against ladies. But let me also kind of tell you guys about another stark contrast I see here. So apparently in these blind dating circles of parks and listing all of your criteria of who you are and what you've achieved, there's a grading for candidates, okay? So the best one, I'm not going to go through all of them, because you can imagine after the top one, it just seems to get, you know, the less and less and less. At the end, getting to, I guess, what is the F, not even in consideration. So maybe what I'll do here is I'll list the top and then I'll list the bottom, okay? And everything else is in between. Okay, so the top candidates are, let's say for males, you're priced at 5.61 to 13.29 million yuan. You have to have a Beijing hukou, an apartment in either Dongcheng, Xicheng, or Haidian district, downtowns, good school areas, a car at a medium or top grade monthly salary of over 50,000 yuan, and a master or PhD, either domestic or foreign university. So for the top female candidate, I'm going to list the first criteria we have. Good looking. So first of all, for the male, good looking wasn't even on that list, right? Something, again, you cannot necessarily control, or something that is so relative. You know, beauty is in the eye of the holder, right?
Yep.
So not everybody agrees on the same painting being that beautiful. We all have different likes and different things. So first of all, I think good looking is a very relative term, yet we're seeing it here being standardized for ladies that they have to meet that. Also, you have to have, ladies, a Beijing hukou, an apartment in those same areas, a car of the same quality, and a monthly salary, guys, not of 50,000 yuan, but 20,000 yuan a month. and a master or bachelor's degree. So the expectations are lower for education and money, which is kind of, I think, in a way, offensive, right? It's not asking you to be as good as your male counterparts, but then in the same way, it's saying what's really important is you're good looking, whereas guys didn't have to fit those needs, right? That's weird. But let me also, since we're also talking about this kind of grade of candidates here, let's talk about the bottom, okay? So the bottom, this is F, right? Not in consideration. These would be like, let's say, a male. No Beijing hukou, no apartment, both in Beijing or other apartments. That's me, so I'm not in consideration at all. Females, though, no Beijing hukou, no apartment, and you're born in the year of the goat.
Oh.
Yeah, so again, the goat is coming to fruition here. It's coming to the forefront.
Yeah.
And I think this is very silly. I've never thought that people should be weighed by even something as like their horoscope, their zodiac. You know, these kind of things are coming and having real effects on people's lives where it's actually, that's not them. That's just circumstance. But I don't think we are just circumstance. I think there is something inside all of us that can't be weighed, can't be measured, that doesn't have a monetary value. I find so much superficial nonsense in how this is going about. And I think all these people are going to be met with if they continue this kind of matchmaking is superficial relationships, which will increase the amount of mistresses and lovers you have. Because, you know, there's this great Eagles song. Eagles is a very famous, the Eagles, very famous
Hotel band. Hotel California.
Yeah, very famous band in the U.S., and I love them. One of them is, me and my mom's, one of our favorite songs is Lion Eyes. And it's about this girl. Now, she gets married to this very rich guy whose hands are as cold as ice. And she's, you know, living with this guy is so easy. She has a lot of money, all this stuff. But she sneaks off to go see this guy in the middle of the night because she loves this guy. She's passionate about this guy. But she's dug herself in this situation of always chasing money, thinking that's going to be what makes her happy. That eventually she's figured out she's in this position where she is trapped with this loveless marriage for the rest of her life. She can't break free of it. And she's dug a hole so deep she can't even get out of it. And so this is what I see happening here. I don't think this is the path to happiness.
Yeah, actually, I agree with Ryan. Also, after checking out the price list on the blind out market, I have a question. What do you marry for? Are you marry for money or affection? And also, I think when for those parents, they are searching the partners for their daughters or sons, I think love is probably the last thing they considered about. And it makes me feel like it's not a combination of two young souls, but put their family backgrounds and their education background on a scale to seek, like, to see whether their family's resources, wealth, and social status are matched to each other.
Yeah, it sounds like merger and acquisition of two companies that we're looking at each other's current status, how much money you have, potential future.
Yeah.
See if our company's future can be brighter if we join hands. That's the vibe that I get. And also, I feel this is a list that for most people, you're just setting up to fail because
you'll never be good enough. There will always, you will always be on some stepping stool. It's like it's living in this kind of thing where who you are isn't decided about what's inside, but it's rather by circumstance and what life has given you. But you know, like, let's take someone like Bill Gates, right? If it were up to these damas or whoever's running around in the park trying to run this dating service, this guy would be overlooked for so many reasons, right? Before he made all of his money. But yet, what's inside a man? What makes or inside a woman? Inside a person? That's what is priceless. And that's what should be sought out. But none of this system is looking at any of that.
Yes, but I also wonder, maybe if the parents, and I know in some cultures parents stay away from this, but in this culture it seems that often parents want to get involved and they get worried, if not more worried, than their kids who are actually going to get married in the future. And how can parents, or how can anyone sift through and find the best candidate if there isn't a standardized criteria. And I think that is what the parents are doing here.
Yeah.
Because how, if they're trying to look for the perfect candidate as a future son-in-law or daughter-in-law, they can't find love, but they can find the condition. Yeah. I think that's what they're doing.
Standardized criteria. I mean, listen to that. You are saying we need to put everybody in one box, guys and girls, and we all need to be these same people. Yet in this world, we've all said that there's not one person like us. So when a relationship forms between two people that are not like any other two people in this world, how can you standardize something like that? This is superficial, in my opinion, and at the same time, this doesn't need to be standardized. This is something that I think, okay, so we should also be asking, why are these grandparents doing this? Are maybe their
the parents,
kids are too,
yeah.
the parents, sorry, the parents doing this. Are their kids too busy to find someone? Is something going on? Maybe that's the solution. Maybe they need to go out and start meeting people. Maybe they need to take a little less time instead of using this kind of almost like you're applying a job type thing with your resume out there to get a girlfriend or a husband or something like that. But, you know, one thing I do want to say is that, you know, Buddhism, all these kind of ways of life, even religions and whatnot, you know, not delving too much into that. I think there's one thing that around the world they all kind of promote and a mindset that I think helps people cope with life. And that is, in my opinion, just in my opinion, of course, that is happiness often has to do with being able to let go of materialism, right? Because there's things in your life you won't be able to control. Economy, these kind of things. All of a sudden you're a millionaire, then you're poor, you know? And if everything you built your life around is something that is materialistic, let's say the economy tanks, suddenly you see how fragile your life has been, how actually you never had control of it in the first place. So I think it's important for all these people to take time and think, I need something real. I need to not build stuff on my life, especially something as important as finding the other person, your other half, off of your achievements or your birthright, this kind of thing, but rather find someone that you are happy with, that you could... that when there's no money around, that's with you for you, how you make each other feel. Because then when everything's taken away from you by circumstance, then you'll still be the happiest person in the world and everything else will just be complimentary.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I also heard some different voice from my friends who are both like Beijing girls. Why they pay so much attention to the hukou? One girl said that she doesn't want to be used as a springboard for some like boys from the rural areas to use them, to exploit them, and to enter the big city. And the other girl is from the Hui group. He's a Hui girl. So she said it's hard for her to find a boy from the Hui ethnic group. So she needs to rely on a community, the Muslim community in China, to arrange some blind date for her. So maybe sometimes it has some different occasions, I think.
Yeah, I understand that part, but I also wonder if when people get together and precondition for that to happen is there is this weighing of how much money you're worth or you already have in possession, then wouldn't the party that has maybe a little bit more wealth, if we're using this story as context, feel that the other person is only with me or for a major reason to be with me is because of money? And would you want that? That is also one of my concerns. And to respond to what Ryan said earlier, I think you draw a very pretty picture and an ideal picture for a lot of people. Who doesn't want to meet that some person that really makes you happy? But I think when you look at these folks, and there's a lot of young people out there simply who haven't found love.
Right, and you might say that, oh my God, love is just something I'll never find. It's so hard. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think one of the best things you can do is to try to surround yourself with people who you really are like. If you appreciate the finer things in life, books, libraries, you know, poetry, this kind of thing, maybe going to places, this is where you'll find these people that like the same kind of things you like, but in a different way. You need to get outside of your house and you need to try, you know? Mm-hmm. Of course, you maybe won't win every football match you play, but the more football matches you play, trying to meet and talk to get to know people, one day you're going to win the World Cup. And all those other football matches were just a means to get to where you needed to go to. But this is not playing any football. This is not going to lead to the World Cup. This is to something that is just bought and paid for, and it's just materialism, I think, in a way. Mm-hmm. And if you ever lose that materialism, the things that made you you based off of what someone put on a park bench or on a whatever,
yeah,
then your whole life will go with it.
I see what you're saying, but I wonder if we should look at it in such a materialistic way. Maybe, let's say, two people, they want to be with someone, can't find that person, have been to poetry lessons and whatever, haven't found that person. And now, here is a way to sift through the mountains of candidates.
So do you think this is going to find you that person, though? Do you think this is in any better way of a system?
Well, I think it has potential, maybe, for some
more so than something like what we talked about.
Well, what if that you've exhausted your resources?
I don't think.
Also, I think like there are lots of single ladies in China, and also you can take our building as an example. So many colleagues, they are finding it so hard to find a boyfriend. So what should they do? I think because the regular working hours, and it's hard for them to go to parties or do some social activities, their social circles are getting smaller and smaller. So what can they do? They can only turn to the blind date. Yeah.
I guess. I mean, or you could just give up. Or you could keep trying. Because you know what? We talk about it on RT all the time and all these successful people that have made their lives awesome. One of the biggest things they never did is give up after they fail. Don't give up. Don't. Failures lead to success, folks. Keep trying. You'll find Mr. or Mrs. Right.
Yes, don't give up. And how can you succeed? There are various ways you can do so. And pick the one that's the best for you. You are listening to Roundtable.